I want to greet you this morning again in the name of Jesus. Something that stuck out to me in this song. It says, "There I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary, find sweet rest." Is that something that I experience? The sorrows, the difficulties that I have, to take them to the Savior and allow Him to take them. What was shared already this morning, I guess, is a bit where I want to go. Tiffany, what you're feeling is not something you're feeling on your own. This is something I think that a lot of us sense. Difficulties throughout the year. When I look back at 2014, we're still in it, but we're close to the end of it. It's a lot that goes through my mind. Some of us have had questions. For some of us, it's been a really, really good year. Seems like the Lord just carried us through everything. Financially, things just went really, really good. My marriage went really good. There were no deaths in my family this year. That's been for some of us. But then there's been those of us who have questioned, who have wondered, "Lord, where are you? Are you really there?" We've lost loved ones. Sheldon mentioned that this morning. We buried a brother-in-law, 53 years old. We think he's too young to die. We buried Cody last week. Cody's 10. He was too young to die. I guess the Lord has just been really shaking me a bit. What is my life? It's so short. Even if I live to be 90, we've talked about this before. When I look back at 2014, I wonder, Lord, have I really trusted you? Have I really given you everything? How has my walk affected those that are around me? Would they look in and say, "Yeah, it's been a positive walk for Lynn this year"? Or would they look at me and say, "You know, it's been pretty negative"? Have I grown deeper with my Savior? Or has my relationship with my Savior got pretty thin this year? It's been a difficult year for me, I'll be honest with you. It's been a year of a lot of questions. It's been a year of trying to be content, to be happy with coming back to Michigan again. Settling into ministry here at Calvary Chapel, I love the people here. But this wasn't my dream. This wasn't where I wanted to be. But I guess here's my question. Regardless of where God calls us today, each one of us, are we willing? I shared with the youth group the other night at their Christmas banquet. Mary had a call on her life. It wasn't a good call from what we would have looked in on at their time. She was pregnant before she was married. That was looked down on. Mary had to make a decision. Am I going to follow Christ or not? She chose to be a willing servant. I find the path that I walk, if I'm willing to walk it because Christ called me to it, is fulfilling. If I choose not to walk that path, I'm in direct disobedience with God. There can't be no blessings. There is a power that we have through the Father. And I guess that's also another challenge this morning. There's a power that sometimes we do not tie into because we think of our own selves and not God. As we walk with God, we are continually being refined. We're growing closer to Him if we choose to walk with Him. Scripture will never change, but sometimes our ideas change. I have to think of us building at home. We're doing a little addition on our house right now. The other day, my wife and I were upstairs looking. Most of the drywall's on. But there is one wall that just does not look right. It just doesn't fit. So my wife and I looked at it, and we decided we're going to tear it apart. Now, not later on down the road. It needs to be done now. So I started taking drywall off. I started cutting the 2x4s back out. It's not complete yet, but it's a change that has to be made. And I think that's how it is in our spiritual walk. There's times that we see something that needs to be changed. So we make changes. We stop, and we redo it. And I guess a challenge for each one of us, let's be very cautious about judging a brother that makes some changes. Unless we have against Scripture. God uses each one of us in different ways. We need each other. Some of us are the arms here this morning. Some of us are the legs. There are things that we have to change. And as we walk with the Lord, there's times that we have to make some changes. We face disappointments. We face trials. So today we're at the end of another year. This week, we're at the end of another year. We now have an opportunity for another year ahead of us, 2015. And that's what I've titled my message this morning. 2015, new opportunities. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah, the first chapter. I've been reading in Jeremiah. I've been excited about what I've been reading. I've never studied the book of Jeremiah before. So this is kind of a first for me, and I've been reading in the book of Jeremiah about his call. Jeremiah had some decisions to make, and as I think back over this past year, I had some decisions to make. You had some decisions to make. Have we taken those decisions and allowed those decisions to grow us? I have with me here this morning a piece of wood. This piece of wood has numbers on it. We had this on our wall in San Antonio. It was given to us by Delton. We had this on our wall in San Antonio. We bring our children up here, and we put them here, and we mark their height. Then a little later, you want to bring them back again, and you hope that it's not at the same place. You hope it got a little bit higher. If it shrinks, we're in trouble. We don't want it to go down. But we have this stick, this measuring stick, and I want us to think about this measuring stick as Scripture, as the Bible, the Word of God. When we come up to the Word of God and we read, this is about where I'm at. The Lord's asking something of me. Lord, I'm willing to do this. And this is where I'm at. I'll stay right there. I'm not going any further, Lord. That's it. You've asked this of me. I'm not going any further. Are we going to keep growing? I'm afraid we're going to shrink. There's a problem. We need a doctor. But when we walk with the Lord, when you give Him everything that we've got, we say, yes, Lord. When we lean on Him, next time we come measure, we're going to have grown just a little bit, aren't we? Our goal is to continue to grow. Jeremiah 1, verse 4. So then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Jeremiah had fears. Lord, I'm not sure if I can do this. But before we go there, verse 5. God told him, said, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I want to challenge you with this thought this morning. Before you were born, God knew you. Long before you were born, he knew you. And he had a purpose for you. Psalm 139:16 says, Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect or unformed. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Before we were born, he knew us. We're not here by chance. God has a purpose. And I want us to remember that this year as we go through our walk with the Lord. God has a purpose for each one of us. And the closer we walk with him, the more we can see that purpose. Each one of us should be walking so close to the Lord that we can help those, that we can sense when there is an issue with somebody in their life. I've heard so many stories already of people that were driving the road and the Holy Spirit started speaking to them. You need to pull over. You need to stop at this place. They need prayer. Am I that close to the Lord that I can hear the Holy Spirit speak to me? This past week, we had Christmas. For a lot of us, that was an exciting time. We get together, we hand out gifts, and we just have a good time together. A lot of food, and that's good. Then I have to think of those that don't have family. Think of those that have had a very difficult year. Christmas is one of the times where suicides are higher than any other time. Why? Just a challenge for us. Let's reach out. We can make a difference. Back to Jeremiah here. God told him, he said, you're to go speak to those in Jerusalem. They're going to be destroyed. Babylon's going to come in. They're going to be destroyed unless you go speak to them. And Jeremiah said, I can't. He said, I'm young. What's my excuse? When God asks something of me, what is my excuse? Children, I'm going to tell you a story this morning. This story is about a young fellow named Jack. This happened back in, I'm not sure what year it was, but it was many years ago. There was a vessel that was sailing from the West Indies to the ports of Scotland. Somehow this young boy named Jack got onto this vessel, and he was just a youngster. He was the only young fellow that I know of that they had written in this book about that was on that ship. The rest of the guys were big, burly dudes. Language was terrible. They didn't get along well. There was fighting going on and that kind of thing. But young Jack was on this boat. Young Jack had gone to Sunday school many times. He knew the Lord. What's a young child like that going to do on a big ship like this with these tough guys? Everybody knew Jack loved to pray because he'd do a lot of it, and eventually they started calling him Pious Jack. As time went on, one of the sailors became sick. They took him down to his bunkhouse and they put him in his bed. And over time, Jack wandered down into his room. He walked up to the sailor and he started praying for him. Then he sat down and started reading scripture. The sailor couldn't go anywhere. He was kind of stuck. But Jack started praying for this man. And he would do that every day he came back, and he went down and he shared with this sailor. He'd pray for him. He'd share scripture. The sailor came to the time when he knew that his voyage was just about over. He was close to the grave. So young Jack asked him one day, he says, "Would you give your heart to the Lord?" The sailor thought about it for quite a while. And finally he said, "Yes." He said, "I would." Children, this was just a young fella. God can use you also to share God's love with those around us. If we don't share, we lose a blessing. When we share with those around us, we bless God. Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. I want us to look at Moses for a bit here. Moses was a man that had a lot of influence at one time. But where we come in here, Moses has run. He's on the backside of the desert, verse 1 there in chapter 3 of Exodus. He's on the backside of the desert, taking care of his sheep. And the angel comes to him in the midst of a bush. There's a fire. And Moses decides, "I'm going to step off to the side. I'm going to see what's happening here." As he gets close to the bush, a voice speaks to him. And Moses listened. He answered. Moses finally gets to the place where, or God finally gets to the place where he asks Moses, "I want you to go back to Egypt. I want you to share with the people there, with Pharaoh. And I want you to ask him to release the people, the slaves." And Moses said, "I can't do this. My tongue gets twisted. I can't do this." He had every excuse that we can find, I believe. Moses says something in verse 10 of chapter 4. Turn over there. I want you to see that. Chapter 4, verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Something I guess I never caught in this scripture. Moses said, "I am not eloquent. I can't talk. In the past, I couldn't talk. I can't even speak good English. I get it all messed up." Maybe that's how it was for him. "I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore." If I understand this right, Moses was saying, "I haven't been eloquent. I ain't right now." Then to the next phrase he says, "Nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant." Is he maybe saying, "I haven't been, I'm not now, and Lord, even if you talk to me, I'm not sure if I'm going to be. I can't talk." What was Moses doing? Maybe you see this a little different than I do, but it looks to me like Moses was slapping God in the face. I'm going to be careful how I say this. But it looks like Moses had no willingness at all. He was dishonoring the name of Christ, I believe. But Moses was willing later on. I want us to make sure of that. Moses and Aaron did go on later on, and he followed the Lord closely. When I don't follow the Lord, when the Lord asks something of me, is this what I do to Him? I've had many opportunities this year, in the past year, to share. I haven't taken every opportunity. What have I done to the Lord? What have I told Him? Lord, You're just not enough. There's times we're ashamed. Luke 9:26 says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of Me and of My words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He shall come in His own glory and in His Father's and of the holy angels." But I love what Paul says in Romans. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Something I need to keep reminding myself of. I want no shame when it comes to sharing the love of Christ with others. When it comes to living out Jesus, I want no shame. Let's go back to Jeremiah again, sorry. Should have told you to keep your finger there in that page. But back to Jeremiah again. Jeremiah was told not to be afraid. He had some fears because he was young. But I want us to see something there in verse 8. It says, God touched his mouth. I want to challenge us with a thought this morning. Have I allowed God to touch my life? Was there a time where I maybe gave my heart to the Lord? And I said, God, that's as far as I'm going. You now have me, but I'm still going to reserve just a bit for myself. It says, God touched his mouth. When we allow God, when we invite him into our hearts, and we allow him to touch our hearts, to change us, there can be victory in our walk. Without the influence of the Holy Spirit in my life, I will fight these battles alone. And when I fight the battles alone, I'm going to lose. I cannot win. I can say that from experience. The children of Israel had fallen from a trusting God. Or they had fallen from trusting God. They were no longer walking with the Lord. How have I done this year in 2014? Have I walked close? Have I forgotten? It seems when we forget at times, or when we face a trial, at least it's this way for me, I want to give up. I think it's easier if I give up. When I give up, who really is my God? Jeremiah 2, verse 13. It says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Jeremiah was telling the people, or God was telling Jeremiah here, that his people, there's two evils they've committed. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. God no longer was priority in their walk. They now had something else that was taking their place. Picture a stream that is fresh water. You love to go and drink out of it. The deer come up, they drink out of it. It's nice and calm. We talked here a while back about the sheep. I guess that was this past week at the funeral. About the sheep coming and drinking out of calm waters. A beautiful stream where we can go to drink and we're refreshed. We're excited about our walk with the Lord. But there's also other streams that are flowing. And they're full of stagnant water. They come from a stagnant pool somewhere. And I know when a pool is normally stagnant, it's sitting. But let's picture that the water here is not good water. But it looks better. So we go over to that pool, to that stream, and we start drinking. They've committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have turned their hearts to other gods. Have I turned my heart towards God this year? Or have I turned my heart towards other gods? Is He the highest? Is He the first? Is He the most important in my walk? I trade thanksgiving for discontent. I trade happiness for sadness. I blame my troubles on those around me, my surroundings. One of these evils that he's talking about. I am headed for disaster. The second evil that he talked about here, he says he hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns. They replaced God. When I think of a cistern, I have to think back on the farm. We had a cistern, and it was close to a spring. This spring would run, come down the hill, and flow into this cistern. It was just a concrete container, I guess you'd call it. The water would flow into there, and we'd pump the water out of that up into our barns. When that cistern went dry, something had to happen. We had to check and see if the water was no longer flowing or if there were some leaks. Here he says, you hewed out cisterns. And I think he's talking more about vessels to put water in, vessels that they had in their houses. But it says the cisterns that you have holes in them. They look good, but they had holes in them. How is it with me this morning? How has it been in this past year? We all look pretty good when we come to church, don't we? We try to make sure that we have our smiles on, that things are good. But are we like these cisterns that have holes in them? Inside, we're just not as good as what we look like. I know this sounds awfully negative, but I want to challenge us. Is my heart where it needs to be with the Lord? Are there holes in these cisterns, or are they true cisterns that do not have other gods? It's so easy just to follow the crowd, to fit in. But it's difficult to stand out in the crowd and to be different. It's difficult. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 12. Verse 2. I guess this is a declaration that I want to make this morning. Isaiah 12 verse 2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." I want to declare this morning that He is my Jehovah. He's my strength. He's my salvation. If you turn to that, I'd like to ask you to stand this morning. Repeat this verse with me. Isaiah 12, 2. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." Thank you. You may be seated. There is no other God that we can follow where we are going to find peace. There are many gods in the world today. Those of you who have been to Thailand realize that there's a God over there. But there is only one God that's true, one real God, and we need to follow closely. I want to look really quickly at three goals for 2015. I want to challenge you with these goals. The first one is in Acts 17, verse 11, if you'd like to turn there. Acts 17, verse 11. It says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica." Thessalonica, here was Paul and Silas, I believe. They had just come from Thessalonica. They were not accepted well there. They were kind of pushed out. So the people there send them down to Berea. says, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. There were more these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They searched the scriptures daily. That's the first one I want to challenge us with. Make that a priority this year in 2015. To spend time in the word, to search the scriptures, to dig. Don't just sit and read, but actually take time to dig in. And see what the Lord has for you. If we intend to grow in the Lord, we need to draw close to Him. If we want to draw close to Him, we have to search. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. We need to immerse ourselves in Scripture. That's how we feed. The second one I want to look at is pray earnestly. Luke 21:36. I'll give you time to turn there if you would. Luke 21, verse 36. It says, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Prayer time. I don't know if it's as hard for you to pray as it is for me. I get on my knees before the Lord, and I love my prayer time. I love spending time with the Lord in prayer. But you know, there's everything else that comes into my mind during that time. Isn't that so? Maybe it's not like that for you. This morning I got up early. I went out and I got on my knees. And you'd be surprised what all can come to your mind that you need to finish yet this week before you go on a trip. It's not what I was praying about. But Don Zook told me something that works for him. I believe it's prayer time. Maybe it's reading. I'm not sure, Don. When we pray audibly, there's something good about that. I don't have any scripture to back that up. But I've got some experience that when we pray audibly, our minds stay focused just a little better. I'll challenge you with that. If you have problems like I faced this morning, where your mind goes here, your mind goes there, pray audibly. Or at least whisper it. If nothing else, let Satan hear it. Let him know that your God is creator of the universe. The value of consistent prayer is not that He will hear us, but that we will hear Him. Did you catch that? The value of consistent prayer is not that He will hear us, but that we will hear Him. And the third one I'm going to look at real quick is in Galatians 6, verse 10. And I'll just read that real quick here. That one is serve willingly. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Serve willingly. We have many opportunities to serve here, to bless our brothers and sisters right here in our congregation, to reach out to our neighborhood, those we work with. We have opportunities to reach out and to serve. And I find when we serve, we are blessed, we are fulfilled. Our theme this past year has been God's people working together. And I think we've done very well. We haven't always focused on that in our messages, but I believe we've done well. So I want to bless you as a congregation this morning. I don't know how the rest of the ministry team has found it, but when we're up here sharing, when we can look out and we see that people are paying attention, that helps us, makes it easier. And I want to bless you as a congregation. I've sensed that this year, that you are attentive. I haven't had to stop and wake anybody up. I know there's times we drift off, and I understand that. But I just want to bless you as a congregation. And I want to challenge you in this coming year. 2015 is an open door. It's ahead of us here. And if the Lord tarries, I'll challenge you to step across that threshold with excitement. Our God is still alive. He's the one that we're serving. Let's give Him everything that we have. Would you stand this morning for prayer? Father, this morning, You've sensed our desire, Father, to walk close to you. You've sensed the heartaches that we've had in this past year, the difficulties that we've faced. But yet you've always been there, Lord, if we're willing to turn to you, and we bless you for that. Father, would you give us the strength, the direction, the wisdom, Father, to, and the willingness, Lord, to walk with you in this coming year. May we go with excitement, Father. May we reach out to those around us. Father, that every soul that we come in contact with that you urge us to share with, that we would do that. We confess, Lord, that we haven't always done that. Help us not to be ashamed of you. We love you, Lord, and we want to bless you. Would you dismiss us with your blessing? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.